May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. How do I reach out from our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 5? There was this man, he was a serious fisherman. He spent the whole day fishing, but it was fruitless. He caught nothing. And he promised his wife that he would definitely bring home some fish that evening. They both liked eating it. In desperation, he went to a local market. He picked out three fat fish, and he said to the clerk, "Hey, before you wrap them, throw them to me one by one. That way I can go home and tell my wife, I caught these, and I won't be lying." I've always found it intriguing, haven't you, that the first disciples that Jesus called were all fishermen. What do you think was behind that? I mean, Peter, James, John, Andrew were all fishermen. It was not their hobby. It was their bread and butter. It was their livelihood. The towns around the Sea of Galilee, but Luke more properly calls it Lake Gennesaret, because it wasn't a sea, it was a lake, was a hotbed for the fishing industry. One town, Bethsaida, actually means fish town. That's what it means. The entire economy depended on the export of fish to Rome. In this gospel lesson, we see that Simon Peter's boat came to be used as a floating pulpit for Jesus, a way to deal with the crowds that came upon him. Jesus, the non-fisherman, then asked Peter to put out in the deep water and let down his nets. That would have been a very frustrating request for Peter for several reasons. First, they had worked all night catching nothing. Obviously, they were exhausted, they were frustrated, and I know fishermen get irritated. Secondly, the worst time to fish with nets was during the day. At night, the fish came closer to the surface, were easier to catch. During the day, the sun's rays penetrated the water and drove the fish to deeper depths. Peter and the others knew about fishing. This rabbi didn't know anything about fishing. They had already cleaned their nets. They were ready to rest. Politely and respectfully, Peter says to Jesus, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." And here's where I wish the Bible would have notes to tell us in what way, what tone of voice Peter might have said this next comment. But I think we can imagine. He said, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." What was he hoping Jesus would say? "That's okay. Right. I understand. I don't really know much about fishing, you know. I like boating, but I don't know much about fishing," right? Jesus didn't say anything to that. So Peter goes out, lets down his nets. It was astonishing. Peter had to call his partners to come help him. They caught so many fish that their nets were breaking, and then a couple of boats were almost sinking. They brought in so many fish. And the reaction of Peter is amazing. And frankly, I don't have a real good sense at why he said what he did. I mean, I can think through it. He says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Now, why did he say that? I'm not actually sure at this moment why he said that. This would have been the greatest success in their fishing career that they ever had. They had caught so many fish, it might have been a year or 2 years worth of fish. It would be like signing a multi-million dollar contract. Their boat had come in, right? And if you like fishing and this happened, it makes you like it all the more, right? But then in essence, Jesus says to them, you think that's great? I'll show you what's great. Fishing for men. That'll be great. And he calls them to that task. If you read through the New Testament, you will find out that this is what Jesus is asking, what Jesus is challenging, what Jesus is commanding every Christian to do. Fish for people. Catch them with the tools of the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he came into the world for you. That he swallowed up all the punishment for your sins and mine to give you in return new life, eternal life. The cross and the empty tomb are the symbols and the tools of our faith to fish. So let's suppose there is someone you love and you observe in them a deathly illness that you yourself had at one time. And you know the treatment and you know the medicine that will work on this disease to make them well. The problem is they don't even think they're sick. They are in denial and they won't listen to you. Still, you make your case before them. It's love and truth. You want to see them healed and saved. You want to see them with Jesus. Jesus is sending you. He's sending you. Do you really want to catch fish? Do you really want to reach out and see people saved? Do you really? That's a fundamental question. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're saved and that's enough, right? If you are a true follower of Jesus, you will know this is a priority, not something you can just dismiss. Why do you think so many teenagers and young adults have stopped coming to church, stopped worshiping Jesus? Oh, they probably tell you that they still believe in Jesus. They're not doing it. Why do you think that is? Now, I have no intention of putting a guilt trip on your parents, but maybe I will. Okay. But is it possible that they have seen things in their parents that make it easy for them to put aside Jesus and worshiping him and his call on their lives? Parents are interested in their children's having success in school. Aren't parents interested in that? Absolutely. Parents are interested in the success in athletics. They go all around on weekends for soccer and cheer and baseball and you name it. They're interested in their success. They're interested in them finally getting a good job and moving out of the house. They're interested that they marry well. And yes, many parents, like myself, are interested in having grandparents. I mean, being grandparents, having them have children. Get on with it. That's what we say. Our lack of zeal is passed down to them. We didn't catch them for Jesus. We didn't catch them. More than any other goal in life, I want to see people come to faith in Jesus. Frankly, I'm continually frustrated as a fisherman. An ambassador for Jesus. I have a great disadvantage you don't have. I am paid to be a pastor. And people think it's my job. In fact, many of you think that I'm supposed to win people to Christ, but not you. If I can just get them to come to church, pastor, and hear a good sermon, not one of your clunkers, right? I can just get them. Now, I believe in the power of the word, but I don't think that most unbelievers are interested in sermons. If we can get them to come, what they have in their minds, I suspect, is asking, does the preacher live out all this stuff he's spouting out? No. Is he for real? Is he a hypocrite? You know, it's all over the media that preachers are really hypocrites. That they, you know, whenever one does something, it's all over, right? It's all over. It's in our sitcoms, too. What unbelievers want to see in you and in me is whether being a Christian makes you kinder, makes you less snobbish, less judgmental, less selfish, less stingy, more generous, more forgiving, more patient, and more ready to face our death with peace and confidence. That's what they're looking at. That's what they want to see. Like Peter, we may say, depart from me because I'm a sinner. And we are, aren't we? In fact, that's one of Satan's traps. He said, who are you to spread the gospel? I know what you've done. And he accuses us. Yes, that stops us, inhibits us from fishing. But you're the person Jesus has called to reach out to others. He has cleaned your net. He forgives you. He sends the Spirit to empower you. You, a believer in Him, are called to fish. Every Christian is called to fish, to reach out. So how do we reach out? Well, Jesus uses the metaphor of fishing. So what does it take to fish? First, you have to note that people Jesus called at first were these first disciples. They were not men of great learning, not men of great influence or wealth or social standing. They weren't poor, but they weren't rich. They weren't stupid, but they weren't smart. They were ordinary people. And I think he picked those first so that we could identify with them. But following Jesus' comparison of fishing to reaching out, Jesus was the master fisherman. We are to do what he did. And the first thing you need to know is that you're sent. You see, the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus sends us. Whatever profession you are doing, whatever you're doing tomorrow, you ought to have a sense that you're being sent. You are sent to fish for people. Now, you're not to grab them by the neck and say, you better believe this stuff. You know, that's not good fishing. First of all, you believe it's true, don't you? Right? The first disciples lived by the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. This lake, has anybody besides me seen it? Some of you have, right? Right. This lake is 680 feet below sea level, which causes its climate to be very warm, very nice. The countryside around it is phenomenally fertile. It is one of the loveliest lakes in the... Yes, amen to you too. It's one of the loveliest lakes in the world. It really is. It's beautiful. People wanted to stay there. Now, it's not well populated now because we're a city kind of living people now, all over the world, right? But it is still a lush area and it's still a beautiful, beautiful lake. People wanted to stay there. I'm sure the first disciples wanted to stay there. But you see, if you're going to be a fisher of men, you can't just stay where you're comfortable. Every fisherman for Christ is asked to leave something behind, some comfort, some pleasure, in order to be an effective fisherman for Christ. You know, those of you who go fishing, what time in the morning do you go? You go early. It is a passion with some to get up at 4 in the morning to get ready to go fishing before sunrise. Who does that? But who does what we do to try to win someone to Christ? We take ourselves out of our comfort zone. What did Jesus do to fish for people? He spoke the truth with courage and love. He was patient. Jesus never seemed rushed with people, never seemed rushed with his disciples. He was compassionate. He saw what people had been through. He empathized with them. And he healed them. So often we jump on people. We're kind of judgmental with them. But we don't know where they've been and what's happened to them. Jesus was not like that. He persevered. He didn't quit. He used different approaches akin to using the right kind of bait. He was generous with people. So if we love Jesus, we will love people in word and in action. We will point them to the truth. It takes time. It takes time to bring people into the knowledge of their loving God. We will ever be compassionate and kind, and we won't give up on people. We will learn when to talk and when not to talk. And one of the greatest tools that we have in our toolbox, in our fishing box, in this culture today, is being generous. Generous with money, generous with time, and generous in our attitudes. Yes, with all our failures and our repeated failures to catch fish, people, we must again and again rededicate ourselves and remind ourselves it is the number one priority of a church to bring people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do it, and the Holy Spirit does it, yes. But it's what God has called us to be. The greatest failure of a church and of individuals to fish is a failure to launch. Peter, an ordinary man, was called by Jesus to go fish. He launched. The time is now for us. We're called to launch and fish for people. In the name of Jesus and to his glory.